everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe that we can actually change the world on the one and only Penguin Radio at the Dominican University of California. So I have a little surprise with you guys today. I actually have a guest speaker. I know I've never had a guest speaker on the show before. This is the first time, so I hope you guys are excited. Her name is Anna, and she's so excited to talk about political current events with you guys today. How are you doing today, Anna?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing even better that you're here now. And so today on our first segment, we will be talking about women within politics and why women within politics are so important. I think they're so important because, honestly, government needs to be diverse and it needs to be reflective. It needs to be reflective of the people it is not controlling but presiding over, because then they are more able to authentically provide laws that fit the population. And so why do you think women within politics are so important, Anna?
I think women in politics are important because democracy can't properly function without women's representation. When we just see men in politics, we don't see that diversity of representation with equity and even human rights.
I completely agree, and I just think that women should be more involved politically, especially in America, where the United States still ranks 75th globally in terms of women's representation. We're also lacking in terms of diversity within bureaucracy as well. And even though we just elected the first female vice president, who's not only a woman, she's a woman of color, I feel as though America still has a lot of work and progress to do in terms of representation within bureaucracy. What do you think? Do you think America still has work to do?
Oh, I think America still has a lot of work to do.
Why do you think that?
I think our democracy won't be a
functioning democracy without women. I think that too.
I agree. I think I won't be satisfied until we have at least an equal amount of representation with males and females, and not just females, but women of color, women that come from diverse backgrounds.
Exactly. And I also think you said you won't be satisfied until we have a equal amount of women, but I think throughout the course of America's history, it's been male dominated. I would love to see a democracy that is female dominated. We can see this in places such as Finland. Do you think that America's democracy would be run better if it was run completely by women?
I do believe that democracy would be run better if it was run by women. Women just lead in such a different way that men do. It allows so much more room to change laws that are discriminatory and oppressive.
I completely agree with that as well. So while we're on this topic of women within politics, what does women in politics mean to you as a woman?
To me, women in politics just means empowerment. Women can do whatever they set their minds to. Women are just as capable as men.
I think it's really important to me because, especially seeing Kamala Harris elected, it just showed me that I can do this as well. And so that's why I think it's very important to little girls and even little boys to see that women are equal to men and they are equal to their male counterparts. And there's always been this American narrative that women belong in the House. Well, yes, they belong in the House and they also belong in the Senate. And I think that's important for every single little girl and every single little boy to know. And so while we're on this topic, who is your favorite woman in government? I have so many, but I'll let you go first.
My favorite woman in politics is definitely Michelle Obama. She led in such a graceful way, but she wasn't just a leader. She was such a great example for little girls, little boys, women of color across the country.
I love that. I love Michelle Obama so much. I would be mistaken if I did not say Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I love RBG. She made so many strides. If you're a woman in today's America, you owe a lot of your rights to RBG. If you own a credit card, if you own a house, if you're married to a same-sex partner, you owe that to RBG. We owe a lot to her, and she was ahead of her times, and she's greatly missed, and she's someone that really made me want to go into politics. I am a political science major because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I am also a huge fan of Margaret Thatcher, not of her politics, but of her as a person. She once said, if one has no enemies, one hasn't done enough work. And so she was the first prime minister in Britain, and the first female prime minister in Britain, excuse me. And she even said before she was prime minister, I don't think within my lifetime I'm going to see Britain have a female prime minister. And then she turned out to be the prime minister. And so obviously I don't agree with her conservative politics, but she was just brave, and she exerted a powerful energy that if Margaret Thatcher walked into the room, you respected Margaret Thatcher. Who else do you respect within government?
I respect Kamala Harris. She always says this quote that her mother used to tell her, you may be the first to do many things, but make sure you are not the last. And I think she represents those words so well. She was a senator in California, and I think so many of these women, including her that we're talking about tonight, are paving the way for so many women across the nation.
I love that. And Kamala Harris also says another quote that I love. She said this a couple years back at the DNC. If there's not a chair at the table, if there's not, you know, a seat at the table for you, bring a folding chair. And that's something that I live by, because oftentimes I'm a female woman of color and there's not a seat at the table for me. So I have to make my own way. And that's something that I truly live by. Another woman that I would be mistaken if I didn't bring up is HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton. She may be controversial, just as RBG was, just as Margaret Thatcher was engulfed in controversy. She even had to resign because she was so controversial. But Hillary Rodham Clinton, whether you like her or not, made a lot of headway for women everywhere. When she ran for president, she was the first woman to be, you know, stand for the DNC as a Democratic candidate in 2016. And so she is just so motivational to me, because when she was running for president, I was a freshman in high school, and it was motivational for me to see a woman have such power and such dignity, but also humility. And she reminds me of a quote that says, stay humble, stay hungry. You know, that is just the epitome of her attitude. And she is really the reason, I think, why Kamala Harris is able to have been elected Vice President of the United States. She walked so that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris could run. And what do you think about that, Anna?
I think Hillary Clinton definitely did make so much headway for Kamala Harris.
I totally agree. She is one of my favorite women in politics. I have so many others. AOC is one of them, and then I also love Ayanna Pressley. She's a congresswoman, and then I love Amy Klobuchar. Amy Klobuchar ran for president as well, and I actually voted for her in the Democratic primaries, and I think Amy Klobuchar has made a lot of headway as well. And then Elizabeth Warren. I'd be mistaken if I didn't bring up Elizabeth Warren as well. What about you? Do you have any other women that you really admire within politics?
One that I wanted to talk about that you mentioned was AOC. She has that fighting spirit that so many women in this country have, and that don't get enough representation in politics.
I completely agree. And though I may not agree with all of AOC's politics, just like Margaret Thatcher, It would just be a mistake if I didn't say she isn't making headway, because she's young, she's powerful. She goes up against the president of the United States, and she's only 30. And so I think it's really important to give credit where credit's due. And so all of the women I mentioned, and there's so many more. Oh, and I would totally, it would be so bad if I didn't even say the name Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams deserves so much credit. I would even like to see Stacey Abrams be vice president one day if she could. She is the reason why Georgia is blue right now. She's worked extremely hard. She hasn't been given the credit that where credit is due, because of America is unfortunately still colorist and America is still fat phobic. That's still a thing here. But she's made a lot of headway. She's gotten more than 800,000 unregistered voters registered in Georgia, and really is the reason that Georgia is blue right now. Do you have any last remarks, Anna, for this segment?
I just want to say that women are powerful, and all these women that we see in politics today are so empowering, and I'm so grateful to be growing up in this time where we do see more women represented in politics.
Exactly, and as I said, even though America is doing better within representation, in terms of women within bureaucracy, we still have to do better. Even Finland has a female prime minister, and their bureaucracy is mostly run by women, and so I think we should take a lesson from these countries such as Finland and Denmark, and places all over the world, and really notice how they're operating their governments. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change. I will be right back with our next segment with Anna. Revolution on The Resistance with a breaking news update. So Donald Trump has still not conceded the 2020 election for some reason, even though he lost, and he is just sowing election chaos all over the nation, and there have been Republican protests all over the nation as well, with people chanting Fox News suck. I don't know if they know that Fox News is actually on their side. So Trump is still tweeting that he has won the election, even though all major news sources have said Joe Biden has won the election, and this is becoming more and more dangerous and scary as Trump supporters truly believe, because whether what Donald Trump is saying, that he has won the election and that Democrats are cheating. And so there are more and more protests. I will keep you updated on this.
Why do we vote? We vote because it's important to exercise our right to vote. We vote on issues that matter to us, such as healthcare, education, the economy, civil rights, and immigration. With our vote, we have the power to shape our country and our communities. Your vote matters. Yeah! So please, register to vote. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change. I'm still here with my guest speaker, Anna. Anna, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty good.
How are you feeling being on The Resistance?
I'm excited to talk about issues that are happening across the nation and around the world.
Yeah, me too. I love this platform and I love to talk to my audience. And so what we will be talking about next is the Black Lives Matter movement. I know that it was more popular during the summer, but I feel it's important to not move away from this issue as it's something that really needs to be resolved in America. What ultimately do you think about the Black Lives Matter movement?
I think Black Lives Matter, everything that happens with Black Lives Matter, it might not be correct, but it's definitely necessary. The government is not going to listen to us if we are not loud.
I somewhat agree with you. I think inherently Black Lives Matter, I think it's crazy that that statement sparks controversy. Black Lives Matter? Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. And I feel as though sometimes I feel as though the ends justify the means, but I don't want to say that because I do not defend Antifa. I do not defend looting. I do not defend rioting. I defend protest because it is our right to protest and peaceably assemble, but it's not our right to steal and to loot. And so although I feel as though we need to be loud in order to make change, I also think we need to be respectable, especially in the time that we live in today. It's important to be respectable as we make change. Maybe if it was way back in the day, and I'm talking about the Stonewall protests, maybe we had to be loud and destructive back then. But I think in today's day and age, it's okay to be to peaceably assemble and get your point across. What do you think about that, Anna?
I agree. I definitely agree on that. It's not our right to destroy. It's not our right to steal. But our unalienable rights, we need those. Those need to be protected. And I think that this is really one of the only ways that we can get the attention.
Okay. I get what you're saying there. And so as we talk about Black Lives Matter, what do you think about Breonna Taylor?
I think that what happened to Breonna Taylor was unjustifiable. It was horribly wrong, and I do think it was an act of racism. It wasn't fair, and I think that we still need to say her name. We still need to make sure that this is at the forefront of everything that's happening around the nation. Black lives do matter, and we need to prosecute whoever is responsible. We need to prosecute whoever is responsible for any of the deaths that have occurred with Black people in this nation wrongfully.
And as we say that, I just want to say that anyone who commits a murder should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. And that's what I think is crazy. I don't think Breonna Taylor's inherent murder, I'm not sure. I wasn't in the room. I'm not sure if that was racially motivated. But what I am sure is that if Breonna Taylor was possibly of a lighter skin tone, she would have gotten the justice she deserved. And if we really think about it, Breonna Taylor's walls got more justice than Breonna Taylor. And I think that's really sad. And I think that's what the protests were really about. It wasn't about whether the murder was racially motivated. Nobody should have died. But it wasn't about whether the murder was racially motivated. It was that a Black woman, yet again, didn't get the justice she deserved. Which I'm not surprised about, because America was never built on... It was never inherently built to listen to Black voices and to protect Black voices, especially Black women. And so what do you think about the National Race Reconciliation America went through this summer, everything that surrounded that movement?
I think what happened this summer, it wasn't acceptable. The looting was not okay. But I do believe that it was necessary. We needed to be heard. And what is going on around the nation, Black people dying wrongfully, that could be, being a woman of color, that could be my father, that could be my mother. And I understand the emotions of so many people across this nation, people of color, because it strikes a nerve. That could be my family. I want representation and I want my rights.
I totally agree with you there. And so where do you think the Black Lives Matter movement is heading? We've seen it die down. There's no longer protests across America. It seems as though it was popular. A lot of people posted about it when it was popular. Where do you think this is heading? What are your predictions for the future in terms of Black Lives Matter and justice for African Americans within America?
Although we're not hearing about it a lot right now, I think we're moving in a very good direction. First of all, having Kamala Harris be elected as vice president, I've heard a lot of conversations going on about over-policing of colored neighborhoods. I just hear a lot of great conversations between her and President Joe Biden, and I think that we're moving in a really good direction.
I agree, but I also disagree, because I feel as though that policing is inherently not a federal issue. It's a state issue that individual states need to be accountable for. And so a lot of these states, they are so performative, and we know how politicians love to be performative. They'll have a conversation right after something happens and right when people are paying attention, but then nothing progresses from that conversation. And so I would be very sad to see if this, everything we went through with George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and everyone else that I didn't mention, would just go to waste. And so what do you think about that? Any
I think that people of color are so hopeful for the future, and I think that our new legislature needs to hold up its promises and hold up what they said they were going to do for us.
Yeah, exactly. I just hope to see, especially states like Kentucky, where we see a lot of racially motivated murders, something truly happen. And so let's switch the topic to something a little more lighthearted and fun. So while we're on Black Lives Matter, who is your favorite African-American actor or actress?
So I think that Beyonce counts as an actress, but she is definitely my favorite Black celebrity. Not only is she a great actor, a great performer, a great singer, she represents the Black community so well, and she has so much pride in being a woman of color, and I think that is something that all people of color, especially young girls, can look up to.
Let me tell you something. I love me some Beyonce, but I love this movie called Twitches, and the main two characters are Tia and Tamara Mowry. They are twins. They're biracial. I'm biracial, and so I kind of assimilate a lot with Tia and Tamara Mowry, so I really like them, and I think they are good. They're not as popular as Beyonce, but they're really, really cool. So what about your favorite African-American musical artist?
My favorite African-American musical artist is a singer. Her name's Jasmine Sullivan. I think she's very famous, but I think a lot of her music is underrated. She's just an amazing singer. So soulful, so beautiful.
For me, it would have to be the one and only Notorious B.I.G. Honestly, I don't listen to rap music. I don't really like rap music, but I love the Notorious B.I.G. I love his music, and it's just really authentic. You could tell that what he's talking about, he's been through, and that's something that really resonates with me. And I think we not come from the same past, but we have similar experiences that I assimilate to once again. And so he's one of my favorite artists. Do you have any other favorite Black artists, actresses, producers?
I do. She's kind of a newer singer. Her name is Her, H-E-R. I just think she's a wonderful singer, and it's amazing to see her breaking through the industry right now. She's amazing.
Yeah, I do love her. I saw an NPR video on her. Another musical artist I really like is Anderson .Paak. And then if I didn't say Michael Jackson right now, the world would be over. So I love Michael Jackson. He is a cult classic. He's so amazing. A really great artist. What do you think, Anna?
Oh, I definitely agree. I love Michael Jackson, but one more that I have to actually bring up is Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson is just as amazing as Michael.
I don't know if just as amazing. Michael has my heart. But those are some really great actors and actresses and musical artists that if you haven't heard of, you should definitely check out. And I think it's important while we're on this topic to support Black artists and Black actresses and Black businesses. And I think that's really important, especially in this national race reconciliation we're going through right now, that if you really want to help Black people at the core. And that's something that's not talked about enough. Do you have any thoughts on that, Anna? Any closing thoughts?
I just want to tell you guys, don't let this go away. This is something that we need to keep talking about. This is something that we need to make progress with.
And on that note, I will close this segment off. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio at the Dominican University of California. I will be back for our third segment.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find the trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change. So I still have my guest speaker, Anna, here with me. How are you feeling so far being on The Resistance, Anna?
Really good, and I'm excited for this next segment.
Me too. So we have a little satirical segment for you guys, just to lighten the mood a bit. So we will be going through Donald Trump's Twitter. I know, pray for us, it's going to be bad. And reacting to the tweets he has tweeted within a 4-day span. So these tweets are just within 4 days. Like, these aren't from weeks ago, as you may think. So the first one reads, and I quote from Donald J. Trump himself, "John Bolton was one of the dumbest people in government that I've had the pleasure to work with. A sullen, dull, and quiet guy. He added nothing to national security except, gee, let's go to war. Also, illegally released much classified information. A real dope." When I read this, I thought this was a satirical account. I did not think this was the President of the United States. What did you think, Anna?
I thought this was so immature. I thought it was a joke.
So, I don't know who Donald Trump's press secretary is, but they have to be like, oh my god, Donald, shut up, shut up, shut up. I thought we told you about Twitter. Good thing Donald's a lame duck now, and they only have to deal with him for a couple more months. If he chooses to leave the White House, if not, someone will drag him out. The next tweet that Donald Trump tweeted 3 days ago. I won the election. Who is going to tell him that he actually did not? He really, really did not win the election. And by a really large margin, he lost, actually. And so when he tweeted this, Twitter actually put underneath a warning that says, multiple sources called this election differently. Donald, once again, who's advising your Twitter account? Because you shouldn't be tweeting things like this. What do you think?
I don't know who's still in his ear telling him that he won the election, but everything says that he didn't. I'm just so ready to get this guy out.
And my thing is, even if we had a recount, the recount wouldn't give him hundreds of thousands of votes that he would need to win. The places that he's losing, and he's losing by large margins, this isn't the Bush and Al Gore election. He's not losing by 500 votes in Florida. He's losing by 15,000 votes in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Nevada, in so many states, Arizona. And so it's crazy that he still thinks he has a chance. I think he's just a sore loser. I remember when I was about 10, and every time I lost, I said everyone else was cheating. But I don't know. That's how I acted when I was a kid. So the next thing he tweeted, this was again 3 days ago, and I don't know how he has time to tweet like this, because me as a college student, an undergraduate student, I don't have time to tweet this much. And it's scary that our president does. So he tweeted, and I quote, "The fake recount going on in Georgia means nothing because they are not allowing signatures to be looked at and verified. Break the unconstitutional consent decree." And then once again, Twitter said, "This claim about election fraud is disputed." They should make a law where the president has to post facts. He can't just post whatever he feels like posting, because it really does affect how Americans, especially Trump supporters, view this election. You know, I think a lot of logical people are like, that might not be true, Donald. But a lot of Trump supporters who just faithfully follow Donald Trump are like, oh yeah. And now a lot of people don't have faith in democracy because crazy Donald's out here posting that they shouldn't trust our democratic system. What do you think about it?
It really just sounds like a blame game, and someone really needs to advise this man that he did not win the election.
I know, like, I don't know any other way to tell Donald J. Trump, you lost, buddy. You lost pretty bad. He's not understanding, and it's sad. So then Donald Trump tweeted, "Try watching Owen. It's really great." Again, why do you have time to tweet and watch TV and tweet about TV when you're the President of the United States?
This man tweets like a 15-year-old girl in high school, and I think it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I barely get on Twitter, and when I do, it's to laugh at Donald J. Trump. But what I think the saddest part about this is he's still our president. Even though he may have lost the election, for these next couple months, he's still our president, and he still needs to be doing what's best for America, not just worrying about how he's going to be president for another 4 years. And so then Donald Trump's tweeted, "Another vaccine just announced, this time by Moderna. 95% effective. for those great historians, please remember that these great discoveries, which will end the China plague, all took place on my watch. So I think what he's saying here is give him credit for everything. And that's fine. I'll give him credit for the hundreds of thousands of people that have died on American soil from the coronavirus. And I'll give him credit for everything that's happening right now. What about you, Anna?
I think that this is such a vital time. People are dying and Donald Trump is playing a game. I think what he's saying here is, look what I did. I got some vaccines. Give me the presidency back. But we don't have the vaccine yet. Where's the vaccine?
Exactly. Donald, show us the vaccine and then tweet about it. I saw this tweet the other day that said, don't announce all your moves. Donald Trump announces every single move before he makes the move, and then the move doesn't even come through. And so then he's like, I never said that. That's what Donald Trump does. And so then he tweeted 3 days ago again. So he was on a tweeting rampage 3 days ago. He said, the radical left Democrats working with their partner, the fake news media, are trying to steal this election. We won't let them. And then Twitter said, this claim about election fraud is disputed. The thing is, if we wanted to steal the election, we would have stole the election, and we would have stole Senate seats, and we would have stole Congress seats. If we stole the election, we did a horrible job at stealing the election because we had to wait a couple days for the announcement that Joe Biden was president. It was close in a couple of states. Not the states that were decisive now, but if we really wanted to steal the election, I think we would have done a better job at stealing an election. What do you think, Anna?
I agree, and I think that the more Donald Trump tries to dispute this win or this loss, that there's so much unrest going on nationwide, and I think this is so unprofessional of him.
Yeah, he's the president of the United States. I remember when I had a marketing job, I wasn't even allowed to call someone a dope. And here the president of the United States is, on Twitter, calling someone he fired on Twitter a dope. I don't understand that. I really, really don't. And so 3 days ago again, and I'm even skipping some tweets. 3 days ago again, he tweeted, quote unquote, in all caps, Georgia won't let us look at all important signature match. Without that, the recount is meaningless. Open up unconstitutional consent decree now at Brian Kemp, Georgia. What do you think about this, Anna?
I think that, let's say I had a boss that acted like this, tweeted like this, and talked like this, they would be reported to HR immediately.
Who do you report the president to, though? I really want to know because I've been trying to report him. Really? So then Donald Trump tweeted that dead people voted. That's all he tweeted in all caps. And the thing is, in every single election, we have some voter fraud, but it's nothing significant to change, you know, the winner. So while I agree that voter fraud shouldn't happen and dead people surely shouldn't vote, it happens, but it doesn't change the outcome of the election, and it happens all the time. It happened in 2016, happened in 2012, happened in 2008. In every single election, we have a number of votes that are fraudulent. What do you think, Anna?
I agree that the margin is so big, and he wants to keep saying that we stole the election. We did a pretty bad job, as you said.
And this was now 2 days ago, so he was on a Twitter rampage for a couple days. Actually, he's on a Twitter rampage every single day. And so he tweeted, the only thing secure about our 2020 election was that it was virtually impenetrable by foreign powers. On that, the Trump administration takes great credit. Unfortunately, the radical left, Democrats, Dominion, and others were perhaps more successful. And so then Twitter said this claim about election fraud is disputed once again. It's sad when tweets from your president have to be censored. So the thing is that it's sad that he's still tweeting about this. Like, dude, you lost. You lost. Just take your L. And sometimes you just got to take your L, bounce back, and move on. That's what I've learned as a college student. What do you think, Anna?
I agree. And I think that so many people listen to him and so many people believe what he's saying that it's just so wrong, so sad. That's the reason why we have so much division in our nation right now.
Oh my gosh, you said it the best, that we have so much division within our nation. If he just made a simple concession speech, a lot of Trump supporters would feel like, okay, we are going to be all right. I know so many past people that have lost in elections and have made concession speeches and have said, I have so much faith in the next president, even though I lost to them. And even if he didn't even say anything along those lines, if he just said, I lost this election fair and square, so many Trump supporters would feel okay and they would be all right. And I feel like that's the right thing to do, because whether you're a Republican or Democrat, nation over party. The good of our nation is more important than the party. And Abraham Lincoln even said that a nation divided cannot prosper. And I think that Donald Trump does not remember this quote, because he obviously does not understand this, and it's heartbreaking. But I feel as though if we all stick together and we understand that democracy took place and it that's how it worked, and Joe Biden is going to be our next president, Kamala Harris is going to be our next vice president, if we just all understand that and trust in our democracy, everything will be all right. Thank you for tuning in to The Resistance. I will be right back for our last segment. Hello, with breaking news today, we have Rudy Giuliani giving a news conference on Thursday, which was yesterday, and he cast doubts on the presidential election, but he also appeared to be melting because he had hair dye dripping from both sides of his face, and so he was speaking from the headquarters of the Republican National Committee in Washington, and Giuliani grew increasingly agitated as he expanded on the debunked allegations of widespread voter fraud that he has pursued since the election was called for Joe Biden earlier this month. And about 40 minutes into his statement, sweat began to drip in color and from both sides of his head, which people believe to be hair color because he was sweating so profusely. He also had hair color sweating down. And so by the time Giuliani began to take questions from reporters, there was dark sweat marks of liquid streaking down his face that had become impossible to ignore. And even as he pleaded with the president not to make light of his claims, for which he has yet to present evidence. And so many online commentators just assume it is hair dye that was sweating down, but I'm interested to see what Mr. Giuliani thinks it is.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Voting is an essential part of our democracy, and democracy requires participation. And if I don't vote, someone else will. And I definitely do not want someone else deciding on laws that will affect me, my family, and my community. Voting is our civic duty, and civic duty is the rent we pay for living. So I hope everyone joins me in voting in every single election. For more resources on how to vote, visit www.eac.gov. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communications and Media Studies Department at the Dominican University of California. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio at the Dominican University of California, the greatest university ever. So I still have my guest speaker with us, Anna. How are you doing? What was your favorite topic to talk about on The Resistance today?
I'm doing great. I think my favorite topic was definitely talking about Donald Trump's rampant tweets. It was fun.
Yeah, mine too. You guys, if you're a frequent listener to The Resistance, you know I don't usually do satirical commentary, but Donald Trump's Twitter was just too good to not get a hold on. And so right now I do want to shift up the pace and talk about the coronavirus and something a little bit more serious. And so More than 250,000 Americans on American soil have died from the coronavirus. And I think what's the saddest part about this is that these are deaths that were preventable. These are deaths that didn't have to occur if we just took the, you know, things more seriously, especially within America. What do you think about this, Anna?
I think that the deaths that did happen were very preventable, and I think that the deaths that are still occurring are preventable right now, and we need to take the necessary precautions to protect our people.
I saw an image on Instagram recently where it showed all, and I fact-checked this as well with many other sources, all 50 states within America are completely red because they're in the uncontrolled spread stage. And especially as we come upon the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, if you celebrate those holidays, it is going to be bad, especially people visiting with their elderly relatives, and God forbid there be an empty seat at the table during these holidays because people did not want to take the necessary precautions. What do you think about the holidays and what's about to happen? What are your predictions, Anna?
I think that after the holidays, it's going to be chaos. I know our hospitals are going to be full, overflowing. Hospitals are already turning away people from different states. I don't know how our system is going to handle it.
And when this first began, coronavirus first began seriously in America, I remember some of my Republican counterparts saying, well, only 1% of the people within America will need to be hospitalized from the coronavirus. And I just don't think people understand how big 1% is. Our hospital systems cannot handle 1% of the population being detrimentally sick and have to be in the hospital. And so I think it's this weird dichotomy where people have is that, well, we could just sacrifice, you know, the old people and the people with, conditions, we could just sacrifice them and we'll be fine. And I think it's so weird, and I think it's very selfish, and I think that's where that American mindset comes to play, that individualism. What do you think about this? Do you think individualism comes to play within the mindset of people when they think about coronavirus in America?
Oh, I do think individualism comes into play. I think that one person dying is too much. I think that 1% is too much. 250,000 is too much. Like you said before, that's going to be an empty seat at the table for so many families.
Exactly. And I even remember when they were debating whether or not to open up schools, I think it was Ben Shapiro who said, you know, only a couple of students and a couple of teachers are going to die. I don't know about you, but I do not want my teacher dying. And I do not want to be the student who came to school with coronavirus and killed my teacher. I do not want that burden on me. And so it's weird how we sacrifice human life for the economy. And I've said it before on the show, and I'll say it again. People's lives are more important than the economy. They're more important than anything else. What do you think about this, Anna?
I agree. And I think that so many people believe that they won't be that 1%. But think of all these stories that we've heard of people being the 1%. It could be you, and we need to be careful.
Exactly. And I think along with being careful, we just need to be compassionate more than anything else. We need to think about others more than anything else. And I remember learning the golden rule back in kindergarten where it said, treat others like you would want to be treated. So even if you didn't think, you know, wearing a mask would stop the coronavirus, I would still wear it to make other people comfortable. Even if somebody was like, I'm not comfortable around you if you don't have a mask on, I would gladly put my mask on. But I believe in wearing a mask all the time when in public. What do you think about wearing a mask, and why do you think it's important?
I think it's so important to wear a mask. And like you said, it's not about you. It's about other people. The CDC, so many studies show that wearing a mask not only protects you, but it protects everybody around you. And I think that wearing a mask is an act of selflessness, and not wearing a mask is ignorance.
Exactly. And I think one thing that's important that I have to bring up is your rights end where my rights begin. And even though it's your right not to wear a mask, it's my right to be safe within the store that I choose to go in. And when you don't wear a mask, you infringe on my right to be safe. And you know, if you don't want to wear a mask and the store says you have to wear a mask, it's just, you gotta leave. That's the thing that has to happen. And I think it's silly that wearing a mask has become political. There's nothing political about being safe. There's nothing political about listening to scientists. What do you think? Do you think this is a political statement, Anna?
I think that a lot of anti-maskers think that wearing a mask is a political statement, but it's not a right or left issue. It's a safety issue. It's an everybody issue.
It's weird how only in America can you tell whether someone is a conservative or a Republican or a Democrat based on whether or not they wear a mask. It's very, very weird. And the thing is, in pretty much a lot of states now, you have to wear a mask and people are still refusing. And it's still not, wearing a mask still isn't popularized like it should be. And I read a report today that if 95% of America's population wore a mask, then shutdowns wouldn't be necessary. And we hear conservatives right and left saying, you know, we don't want another shutdown because the economy. Then wear a mask. And what do you think about the implications on the economy from coronavirus?
I think that the coronavirus has been so detrimental on so many businesses. And like you said before, if 95% of the nation wore masks, we wouldn't have to be concerned about shutdowns. And so many businesses are losing money, closing, shutting down because we have to shut down the government.
It's not the government, but the economy. But I totally agree with Anna there. You know, just wear your mask and you won't have to worry about a shutdown. And shutdowns are sometimes necessary. And I'm not inherently opposed to shutdowns, but I do agree that shutdowns are detrimental to businesses, especially small businesses. But also we have to look at our bureaucracy. What is our bureaucracy doing to help with small businesses and what small businesses are losing? And so I think it's important to realize that not only should our bureaucracy be doing more in terms of helping the American population battle coronavirus, they should be doing more in funding Americans battle coronavirus as well. Fiscally, they're not doing enough to help small businesses. And so, Anna, do you have anything on this?
I think that we definitely need more help. Our small businesses need so much help right now.
And it doesn't help that Congress is divided and they're not able to get anything done on the Senate floor for a COVID package. And so I think that's really how we see that this bicameral system, this two-party system, is detrimental, especially when we're so polarized on both sides where we can't get anything done. It's like both sides just want to be right, but nobody thinks about what's good for the American people. And so I think it's so important that as soon as possible, we get another stimulus package out there, because I know so many Americans, as I said, small business owners are struggling. Do you have any last remarks on coronavirus, Anna?
I think that just so many people are struggling to put food on the table, pay their rent, and I think if more people just wore a mask, then we wouldn't have this problem.
Exactly, and as always, be safe, mi gente, wash your hands, wear a mask, and take all the necessary social distancing precautions, and please, 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 please don't travel this Thanksgiving if you don't have to. I know it's going to be sad to not see your family, but imagine not seeing a family member for the rest of their life because they died from the coronavirus. Sad, right? But thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you, Anna, for being on.
Of course, I had a wonderful time.
And I will see you guys next week on The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution. See you guys later.